Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
That's all the sacrifices did. They covered over, but did not remove. They could not remove. In the same way, those sacrifices that they couldn't remove stain from sin, good works, religion, can never remove the stain of sin in our life. They can add good works to our life. They can make us more moral and more considerate of one another, but they can never make us where we're able to stand in the presence of a holy God. Never.
The early believers in Christ were tempted to return to the Old Testament system of sacrifices as a means to be in relationship with God again. Believing in Christ's sacrifice was too difficult for some. Many felt they had to do something to earn or maintain forgiveness. Today, Pastor Troy will explain how insufficient the old sacrifices were to save anyone. They could never remove the stain of sin. The sacrificial system was only intended to remind God's people that they were sinful and pointed to the future, perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus. Only He can fully and completely remove sin from you. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
No matter what kind of religion a man has, if that religion does not deal with sin, then it has no eternal value at all. It can make a moral person on the outside, but it can't touch the person on the inside. See, on the inside, by our very nature, we are a sinner to the core. It's proven by the choices that we make. We make choices every day that prove we're selfish, that we're sinners, that we think the world revolves around us. I remember growing up, that's what I always thought about the sun, you know? You always think you're the center of everything. Even growing up, I thought, I knew this wasn't true, but in my own mind, I thought, it's like the world is a play, and I'm the star. You know, maybe you thought that for yourself. You know, you grow up and it's like everyone's an actor in my world. Like the world revolves around you. That's our sinful nature. It's been said that we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's just what comes out of us. There are wars among us. Even in our own homes, we're supposed to love each other. And yet there are wars even there because we are sinners. There's deceit among us, lying, because we're sinners. There's self-promotion and sickness and even death because we're sinners. Sin has entered the world. Sin has affected every single one of us. You know, one out of every one dies, proving that we have the disease. We're sick. It wasn't supposed to be this way. In the garden, we had access to the tree of life. Everything was perfect. We had perfect communion with God. But sin broke that fellowship. And so what's the solution? Well, that's what God's been trying to offer us the whole time, is a solution. And the author here in Hebrews makes it clear that it is not the Old Testament sacrifices. Those were not the solution. In fact, on the contrary, it's found in the sacrifice of Christ, the one who died on the cross, who many in Israel had rejected. So he continues speaking to these Hebrew believers who are being tempted to go back to that system of sacrifice, whether it be because family members are pushing them out or because they've lost their job, because in Jerusalem, everything revolved around working at the temple and the work of the temple. And so when they turned to Christ, they lost everything. They were shunned. For whatever reason, these Hebrews were being tempted. Maybe life would be easier if I just go back to that. And so he's really encouraging them by making the case for Christ. And he says in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." So the first thing we come to understand in our text today is our works cannot heal. Or in the context of salvation, our works can never save us. The author saying, those sacrifices that you guys are thinking of turning back to, and maybe you hold to them religiously, it just feels better. It just feels like you're forgiven more when something is slaughtered before you. And there's just this feeling that happens. It's just, look, it's not real. It's not a picture. It doesn't do anything for you. Very similar to those who get so involved in their religion or their religious system that some of the rituals that take place become the thing they identify with is feeling God. For some, it's a worship experience. If there aren't certain things happening in the worship experience, maybe God wasn't here. Or you had incense at your services, and oh, remember, that's the fragrance of Christ. And without that incense, I just don't feel like God is here. That's what he's trying to move them from. He's saying, look, those things were nothing. Those sacrifices, they were nothing. In fact, he says, because those sacrifices had to take place every year, it should tell you something. They didn't last forever. They were not a perfect solution because every year you had to bring one. It didn't matter how big your offering was or how expensive or how flawless. Oh, this is the most flawless one that we've ever brought. It didn't matter. Next year, you had to do it all over again as if it never happened. And so the sacrifices, as he says here, they didn't remove sin. What they really did was they kept reminding them of their sin. Every year, they remembered, I'm a sinner. Every year, they remembered, I've got to bring a sacrifice. It's like having a stain on your carpet. You know, stains on the carpet. What can you do about them? Cut out the patch and replace it, you know? There's some stains you just can't remove. Ink, blood, certain things that just stay. Grape juice, cranberry juice. So what do? We cover them. We say, that's a good spot for the couch. Or a table. What's that table doing in an awkward place in your home? It'd be better centered. It's covering a stain. And so we know how to cover the stains, but the problem is if you move the item, the stain is actually still there. Well, that's all the sacrifices did. They covered over, but did not remove. They could not remove. In the same way, those sacrifices that they couldn't remove stain from sin, good works, religion can never remove the stain of sin in our life. They can add good works to our life. They can make us more moral and more considerate of one another, but they can never make us where we're able to stand in the presence of a holy God. Never. All the good works you could ever muster up could never do away with the fact that you sinned, even if it were once. It's not a matter of whether you sinned more or you did more good works or better works than you did in your sin life. It's that you have sin at all. You are a sinner. And if you can control it better than most people, great. You've learned some valuable lessons in life, but you still can't stand before a holy God because there's a stain that just won't be permitted into heaven. We need something that will remove the stain. The thing about a stain is others notice it. Others are affected by it because now you put a table there. All right, you got a stain in the carpet. But maybe you didn't tell your husband, and so you move the tables. And anytime you move tables, surely that other person who didn't realize that things were moved is going to get up at night and go out and kick something over or hit their leg or something. Our sin, even if we try to cover it, it still affects others. If you've ever lied to someone, you may have covered it up, you may have confessed, you may have done everything you can to do something right, or maybe you thought you got by with it. But if you've ever lied to someone, there are ripple effects of that sin that you can never, ever really change. Some of those could be the lack of trust that someone begins to have for you. Look, what he said didn't sound right. I'm starting to not really trust some of the things that person says. And they may never tell you. It just may be something that's in their heart now. Some people alter their life because of something you said. And maybe you said it to this person, but you didn't know someone else overheard and adjusted things. There are no good works you can do to make up for some of the effects of sin that happen from your own life. We impact others, and we can't change some of the things that are impacted by our sinful nature. The standard in heaven is perfection. And none of us can stand there perfect. Verse 4, the author makes a clear statement to them in case they didn't get the message. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It won't do it because sin has left its mark. So something better is needed. Verse 5, therefore, when he came into the world, that's Christ, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, and he repeats it so they know he's on this point, sacrificing and offering burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website. buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. The first being the old covenant. He fulfills it and establishes in his blood a new covenant. So what we want to take is Christ's work can heal. Our works can't heal, but Christ's work can heal or does save. The burnt offerings, the system of sacrifice, these things were actually never what satisfied God anyway. They were a setup, a picture to prepare them for the one who would be the fulfillment of those things, the reality. God was never satisfied completely with these things. It just gave them some way to exercise faith, believing in him, so that they could approach. Now, we're going to talk about this idea of being in close proximity to the Lord. Israel lived close to him. And in order to live close to God, they, of all people, had to have a system that kept them pure and worthy of being in the camp, in that proximity. But even with this system, none of them could stand right in the presence of God. They could only be close on the outside. So they needed a perfect sacrifice. They needed some way of approach. So they got one. The Son of God, Jesus, who would come in a body. He would have to come in a body because then he would be able to flesh out to be that atoning sacrifice. You know, the greatest work of Christ, or not the greatest, but one of the great works of Christ that we often overlook and take for granted is that he came in a body. He was fully God always. That's who he is. But he was also fully man. He had to have every nerve. He had to have everything necessary, the emotions. He had to have everything necessary to be a man, to experience life as a man, and to feel all the pain of a man. See, only a man could represent men. I can't stand up here, and I can speak for women, but I can't represent them. I don't live as one. So though I can speak for them, and I can, with all the knowledge that I may have about some of the things that they go through, I could never truly represent them in the truest sense. I'd have to be one. Well, for the Lord, for the Messiah, to represent men, he had to be a man. And he could be no less. The wages of sin was death. It was a price that had to be paid. And so Jesus paid that price as a man. He died on the cross. Only a man could model for men. Set an example. You know, it's hard to see an invisible God. Show me, God. Where yet? You know? And so in Christ, we saw God embodied. And we saw an example. Jesus taught us by his life who God is. It was a side of God that Israel never could really see or grasp. In Jesus, they saw and we see his compassion. In Jesus, we see his heartbreak. In Jesus, we see his authority. We knew it was there, but Jesus commanded the waters, be still. We saw his authority over demons and sickness and nature. So we saw God as Jesus came. But Jesus also taught us how to live, how we ought to live. He modeled it. He served the disciples. Now, this is God. And yet he washes his disciples' feet and he says, you guys go do this. Stop fighting about who's going to be greatest. You guys do this. If I saw fit to do it, how much more should you? The disciples saw him depending on the Father in prayer, giving us an example of how important it is to depend on the Lord in prayer. Not just to toss prayers up, but to depend on him. You know what it means to be dependent? It means I can't do anything, I need you. Kids are dependents. Obviously, they grow up and they mature and they start to become independent. God doesn't want us independent. He wants us dependent upon him. We're not supposed to grow to the point where I don't need you anymore, Lord, but that we would be dependent. In fact, more and more dependent. The more we realize we need him for everything. He says, without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we might think, well, I do lots of things without him. The whole world does stuff without him. Yes, but nothing that will last, nothing that will go into eternity and be of any value at all. There's coming a day when everything done here, all the works that we've done here for our own glory and for our own pleasure, they're going to be burned up. They're going to be insignificant. In fact, I think they're going to break our hearts that we wasted so much time. Have you ever wasted time? You turn on the TV or get on the internet, man, it's time wasted. I mean, you will be on there clicking buttons and doing things, and some have sat and vegged, man, I've had plans. And then you just go online or you start something and you just do one click. You just go, oh, I could research that too. Oh, they got these for sale. Oh, and I don't know how you get there, but you're all over the place. You look, oh man, I got 5 minutes. You intended to be on time. You intended to do all this great stuff, but it's time wasted. I believe in this life, we waste a lot of time on earthly things. We waste it. Jesus taught us submission to the Father. He was submitted. That was his role here. The three are one. They're all equal. But Jesus, the man, served in a submitted role. And he gave us an example. Jesus placed the work of God above everything else. I mean everything else. He placed it above family, food, fun, sleep. Jesus missed meals and sleep in order to pray or do the Father's business. Meals and sleep. I know some who think that that's not God's will. When I miss a meal, I'm angry. And I'm going to let you know about it. God would never have us miss a meal. I'm sorry, there are many out there who miss all kinds of meals in the name of the Lord. So we have misplaced priorities. And you don't read about Jesus ever missing something that God wanted him to do because of soccer practice. You never see the Lord going, Peter's mom needs to be healed. You know what? Let me just give her a temporary thing. I'll just do it from a distance. I got soccer practice. So I'm just going to go with the other guys. Me and the disciples were taking on the Pharisees. And, you know, we got to show them that God is with us. That never happened. He didn't pursue those things. He was not too busy with those things. In fact, there was a time when his own family came, his mom. And they came and they said, hey, your mom wants you. And Jesus didn't go, let me teach you the priorities here. All right, I'm going to go see my mom real quick. No, he taught us a different set of priorities. He said, who are my mother, my brothers, who are my sisters, my family? Those who do the will of my Father. That's what I'm here for. They're the priority. I don't have time for the things of the world and the system that the world operates by. I am about my Father's business. Now, he didn't disrespect his mom, but he had given a right sense of priorities. Jesus showed respect. He submitted even to his own parents unless there was a conflict with the will of God. At 12 years old, they had gone on a trip. They were in Jerusalem and they had to travel back, and it took them a whole day before they realized Jesus wasn't with them and they had to travel back. And they said, where are you at? And that's when he told them, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? I'm teaching the Bible here, answering questions. And it says everyone was amazed at his understanding. I think it was amazing that Jesus came because it was the first time men could actually debate God. We lost to a 12-year-old. But God came. We were able to behold his glory, to look upon him, to get to know him. That's what he always wanted, for us to be able to get to know him. Jesus taught us that knowing, serving, and relating to God is the single most important thing in life. Why? Because it impacts our eternity. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because it was about this idea of a relationship. I never knew you. It's not that he's God. He knows everyone. He knows about everyone. He's saying, we never had a relationship.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.